all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio. It's a Thursday, April 6th, and coming up in this hour, our hometown health segment with Dr. Kristen Lyerly will feature Dr. Ann Helms, a neurologist who also advocates for healthcare reform, on what this week's election means for Wisconsin physicians and healthcare. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour. It's kind of related to our call of the day here. What's the one word that would sum up your feelings about the results of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court election? You can either call us or you can comment on our Facebook page or look for Up North News WI on Facebook or Civic Media, or call us here, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. You can email us radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Now that we've given Dr. Lyerly some time to think about it, Kristen, what's the one word that sums up your feelings about the results of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race?
It's hope.
There we go. That appears to be our word of the day. I've heard that more than anything else, that the word we're looking for is hope. Why? Especially for somebody like you that just spent, 9 or 10 days out of state doing some work. Why the feeling of hope now?
Well, I think that we've been feeling hopeless for a long time. When I ran for state assembly in 2020, it was COVID, everything was chaotic, and we felt like maybe there was an opportunity for change there, and it didn't happen. And then we put all of our eggs in the fair maps basket, thinking, well, nearly 80% of Wisconsinites want fair maps, so surely we're going to get fair maps. And we got a little glimmer of hope there, and then it was crushed. So I think many of us have just been feeling like, we've been given tidbits, but just not enough. But now I feel like we're on a totally different course, and this is good.
It has potential, exactly. And one of the articles I'm working on for Up North News is, how would the courts go about taking up the gerrymandered maps? We already know that they'll eventually take up the 1849 abortion ban, that court case filed by Attorney General Josh Call, and it has something to do with, some doctor named Lyerly and some others who are a part of it. That's going to work its way through the courts. But how about gerrymandering? How's that going to work? And it could, especially given that, like you said, the U.S. Supreme Court in the Gill v. Whitford case basically punted and said, we're not going to establish a definition at the national level for partisan gerrymandering. At the national level, they will define racial gerrymandering, but not partisan. But that doesn't mean states can't, and Wisconsin could be one of the first states to do it, provided they handle this all properly. And if they do, that could finally give us fair maps. So yeah, there's a little bit of hope.
There sure is. And I was just thinking about our congressional districts. Like, if you need a simple example, we have 8 congressional districts here in Wisconsin. And in a 50-50 state, only 2 of them are represented by Democrats. That's not who we are.
No, not at all. We talk about Republicans having 64% of the assembly seats, 66% of the state Senate seats, but they have 75% of the congressional seats in the state here. So yeah, there's something wrong. There's something really, really wrong about the way that this is done. But in looking back at Tuesday, again, one of the things we noted last hour, can't help but note it again today, Dan Kelly, don't go away angry, just go away. but you were saying that as you were driving back to Wisconsin yesterday and still thinking about his concession speech and how it still, gets you a little cheesed.
Yeah, the more I think about it, the more I feel frustrated, and I just that we made the right choice here. And even friends of mine who voted for Kelly. I have friends who voted for Kelly. I have lots of different friends.
Sure, same here.
And watching that speech made them feel like maybe Kelly wasn't the right guy. So for a supporter to watch a concession speech and change their mind at that point, we did a good thing, guys.
Yeah.
We did a good thing on Tuesday.
Yeah, and since we weren't on the radio yesterday, let's go ahead and play a clip of Dan Kelly showing immense grace and class as he concedes the election to Janet Protasiewicz.
And it brings me no joy to say this. I wish that in a circumstance like this, I would be able to concede to a worthy opponent. But I do not have a worthy opponent to which I can concede.
Okay, first off, Mr. Pat Robertson, university graduate, it's to whom I can concede, not to which. Do you write law opinions with that sense of grammar? But second, and again, we can differ on, you know, what how we interpret it. When I heard the groans after that, I know some people thought they were going along with him, agreeing that, you know, Janet Protasiewicz was not a worthy opponent. It's my opinion that some of those groans were from people in the room going, no, he shouldn't have said that out loud. And that they maybe groaned a little louder than they meant to. But I mean, there was probably air in a mix of both.
I think it was definitely audible groan worthy. And that wasn't the only thing. He said things like, this does not end well.
Oh, yeah. And good luck, Wisconsin.
The last thing he said before he left the podium was, I wish Wisconsin the best of luck because I think it's going to need it.
Well, that sounds like a guy who's about to get on Tim Michael's plane and head to Connecticut.
He also called Judge Janet a serial liar. So that was cool, too.
Oh, yeah. Just now, again, remember, Dan Kelly now has a place in history. He has flipped two state Supreme Court seats. He lost his own seat to Jill Karofsky, and now he lost Pat Rogensack's seat as well when he tried to get on the court again. So he single-handedly has flipped two seats to progressives. So you know what, Dan, you can make any concession speech you like as long as you keep losing. Could we suggest you run again against Dan Walsh Bradley in 2025? We'd be happy to have you there. Weather check from Weatherology next. You're up north. We're picking on Dr. Lyerly, who has to have the front page full tight in all ways with national media.
Oh, jeez.
We're going to compare notes in just a bit. But first, we are on a weather roller coaster, and that's where we bring in meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology to help us understand the roller coaster that we're on. That this is my bold prediction. This is not the prediction of a meteorologist. This is the last time we're going to see 20s, and then it's going to get so nice after this. Now, with a possible concurring opinion, or to tell me how stupid I am, here's Jennifer with the forecast heading into the week and a much warmer next week. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. I think you became very popular with everyone right now.
I guess so. I'll take my chances where I can. How are things looking?
Yeah, well, it does look like an interesting forecast coming in. Like you said, a roller coaster ride of temperatures here that we've been experiencing and will experience maybe for some tomorrow. But a fairly decent forecast for pretty much everyone today and tomorrow, looking at sunny skies primarily, maybe a little bit more cloud cover towards Wausau, Oshkosh, over to Green Bay for tomorrow. Temperatures close to average in the south today in the low 50s and cooler, a little bit farther north and west you go in the 30s around Wausau to Amory. Warming up for most tomorrow as well, a little dip in the temperatures closer to Lake Michigan, but essentially a warmer weekend for all ahead as a warm front pushes through the area in the south. A little bit of a cloud cover on Saturday, then sunny on Sunday with temperatures in the 50s to 60s. Oshkosh to Wisconsin Rapids over to around Baldwin, looking at a warmer weekend as well. Also in the 50s to 60s, primarily maybe a few isolated 40s for on Saturday, but a chance for a mix of precipitation Saturday as well, mostly in the morning hours and drying out for the rest of the day into Sunday around the central parts of the state. Then still a chance for some rain, a slight chance for rain in the west around Amory and Baldwin, but overall on Sunday, looking at above average temperatures for everyone on Sunday, lingering around about 60 degrees. So that's going to be a bit above average for everyone coming up by the end of the weekend Sunday.
Yeah, 60. I can definitely get used to that. My little Apple Watch in front of me here says it's 23 degrees up here on Lake Wasota. I'm ready to be done with that. I'm guessing you are too. We're ready for spring to show up for good.
Absolutely. A little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, right?
That's it. That's exactly it. Jennifer, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Weatherology meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki joining us. So let's see. Oh, Mark in Prairie du Sac wants to get in on the conversation about Dan Kelly and the election results. Mark, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Usually I'm in the sack, but unfortunately right now I'm in the hospital getting an abscess treated from my successful cancer surgery.
Well, wish you the best.
I was just Thank you so much. And I wanted my friends out there to know that because I've been kind of out of the picture now, not calling in. But okay. But it's just Dan Kelly's, whatever that was. I mean, it was just disgusting. I mean, the man is fortunate, along with 95% of the other Republicans in the state, but they're not all in jail enjoying the hospitality of our prisons because they're all in violation of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And it's just disgusting that calling her an unworthy opponent, and it is just unbelievable that he has any credibility at all.
There was no credibility there. Very, very, very little. Right. I don't know who Republicans are going to run against Ann Walsh Bradley in 2025, but if they don't learn any lessons from what they did to hold back Rebecca Clefish and Jennifer Doro, who I thought would be stronger candidates in the general elections, well, then, they're not going to field a strong candidate to try to get that majority back, Mark. I appreciate you calling in. And, hey, feel better soon. I hope things go well for you.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Have a great day. Let's bring back in Dr. Kristen Lierley and Aaron Zommers. Just ahead of Hometown Health at the bottom of the hour. Kristen, you busy little bee. We were talking yesterday, and we were even going to consider lunch as you were passing through town, but then I was busy, doing some interviews. And I get a text from her going, well, it's a good thing we didn't do lunch. I had to pull over and do an interview with the Boston Globe, said the woman who was also quoted in Rolling Stone, leading up to the election. I mean, how do you make time for us little people in your busy day?
Did you not catch the Vanity Fair article?
Shut up. Shut up. Are you dropping Vanity Fair on me too?
Yeah. And for those of you who are NPR listeners this afternoon, not that I want you to, walk away from civic media, but I'll be on All Things Considered later
this
afternoon.
You'll be on All Things Considered?
Yeah. But this is not about me.
What did I tell you yesterday? I said there is nobody I would rather have talking to national media about Wisconsin than you on this issue, which is a big thing for me to say because the answer is normally me. There's nobody I'd rather have talking to national media than me. And look, I've been very happy with the things I've done on public radio in Chicago. But as I told you before, I was on election night on a public radio station in Chicago. And after a back and forth on the race, they said, thank you, Pat. I kind of held on the line when I heard them say, our next guest is Kirk Bangstad from the Minocqua Brewing Company at the Janet Protasiewicz Victory Party. And Kirk gets on there and goes, hey, that was my main man, Pat Kreitlow for Wisconsin News. Got to go with Pat Kreitlow. And I'm just like, well, this is great. It's not Rolling Stone or Vanity Fair or All Things Considered or... You've been on every network newscast, right? ABC, NBC, CBS.
I don't think all of them, but many of them. But it's not me. It's because
my point being that, again, you're raising this point as a working OBGYN who is not shy. I mean, let's all admit it, Kristen. You're not shy.
I'm not shy. Somebody needs to be the voice because this is the reason that Republicans have been so successful in controlling the narrative about abortion and about not just abortion, but women's health care, contraception. I mean, periods. It has gotten to the point where we can't even talk about periods in schools. There's legislation in Florida where they wouldn't be able to talk about periods in schools until junior high. Kids get periods before junior high. They need to be prepared. They need this information. So somebody needs to be able to have honest, evidence-based conversations, and that just happens to be me.
Wait a minute. Do you, Aaron, do you really have the clip with... Oh, Kirk... Yes, Kirk did. We did make a comment about Kristen's national profile. I think Kirk joined me for that one. Aaron, you want to play that clip again?
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
I was gonna say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better. Up North
News. Sometimes my metaphors go a little too far. but I'll take them where I can.
Wait a minute. In Wisconsin, that's a compliment.
It is. Oh, don't get me wrong. Yeah, when you smell that, and people from out of state come in and they go, "What is that?" And you go, "That's the smell of money." That's, you know, that's how we.
I love it. That makes me think of my grandpa's farm and that like sweet. Oh yeah.
Oh, good.
That sounds
okay.
Weird.
Well, maybe thanks for romanticizing my metaphor. I appreciate that very much. But getting back to what you were saying about other states, we are actually going to talk to our friend Carolyn Fiddler on tomorrow's show. She writes a newsletter that specifically focuses on state-level politics. And so she's got to monitor all 50 states to pass along what's happening in this state and that state. And spoiler alert, our segment tomorrow is going to be a horror show. I mean, we talk about Wisconsin all the time, and yeah, bad things have happened. But what's happening this week in Tennessee, what's happening this week in North Carolina, what's happening in Idaho and in Kansas, where the legislature overrode the governor's veto and put into effect a law that allows for genitalia inspection for girls who want to play girl sports. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we're seeing at the state level. And like, and I forget which state it was, Kristen, that you just brought up about you can't even talk about periods before sixth grade in school.
Florida, it's proposed.
Of course it's Florida. Yeah. Of course it is. I mean, these are the things that you working with and for the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, you're not just looking at Congress and national politics, you're looking at all of these state capitals, and you know, you're talking to your colleagues in all the other regions, and I don't know how it doesn't make your head spin sometimes.
It totally makes my head spin. And it's not even just that. I mean, did you hear what happened recently in one of the federal courts about preventive care? That they struck down the Obamacare piece that allowed us to get preventive care at no additional cost. That was something we lobbied so hard for, so that we could encourage people to go to the doctor, not have to pay a copay, not have to pay for mammograms and pap tests and all of the routine screening tests that we need. And they struck that down. So that means that if that holds, if that stands in 2024, we'll have to pay for our preventive care again.
Which is unreal, because Congress knows what they passed. You know,
they
passed what they passed. And yet, you know, a right-wing activist judge can strike these kinds of things down.
And it doesn't serve people. People want access to preventive care. People want health care. I mean, you heard Mark, he's in the hospital right now. People need health care. Every single one of us does. That is the one thing that we need to do better on, whether we're men, women, children, it doesn't matter.
And there are ways to do that. And that, I think, is the message that voters are trying to send to Republicans, that you can still be conservative. You can still be fiscally conservative. You can still try to be mindful of various social issues without going all Handmaid's Tale on them. Mm-hmm. And that's where we'll wait and get into this with Dr. Helms as well. But something that Joe Zepecki said in the last hour about the possibility that Wisconsin Republicans are finally willing a little tiny bit to expand Medicaid or Badger Care for mothers and babies. Joe sounds skeptical that it'll happen. I'm skeptical that it'll happen. But, you know, again, the voters are trying to say, you can have your positions, but when it comes to policy, you'd better be taking care of us, not trying to rule us.
Mm-hmm. I, for people who talk so much about life and taking care of babies, this is a total win. This is really easy stuff, but we haven't seen it happening over and over and over again. So when it comes to, it's a lot of words, but it's very little action.
Yeah. And that's why I asked as well of Joe last hour, whether this was, you know, does this mean it's the beginning of the end for, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss? Because, you know, his rule of the Republican Assembly caucus has been marked by embracing some of the most extreme and the most obstructionist policies. Are we about to see some kind of a change in the Republican caucus in the Assembly and in the state Senate? And while I don't right now think that's going to be the case, you do have to wonder if we're seeing rumblings that that Republicans are getting a clue, or do you think that in these Assembly races, you know, next year, we're really not going to see much of a change in the caliber of Republican candidates?
I really don't know what we're going to see. I would have to guess that they're probably going to try to move closer to the middle, because you're right, they've been so extreme because they haven't been held accountable. They haven't had to be held accountable. So they have said and done whatever they've wanted to do. But now people are paying closer attention. And if their seats are competitive, that's a game changer for Wisconsinites, and it's a game changer for them.
Yeah,
so I'm very interested to see what they're going to do.
Oh, especially, like you said, especially if we can get those maps changed, maybe not by the 2024 election, but certainly by 2026. We'll pause here. We'll bring in Dr. Ann Helms, continue with Hometown Health on a Thursday morning. This is Up North News Radio. We'll be back.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com. People stay
just a little bit longer. We'll see if staying a little longer is the message to Wisconsin physicians in just a minute with Hometown Health. First, a couple of quick sports headlines. Brewers beat the Mets 7-6 yesterday afternoon. Garrett Mitchell hitting his first ever walk-off home run, a solo shot in the bottom of the ninth. That's 5 in a row for the Brewers now. A 5-1 record off today. The Cardinals come to town for a 3-game series starting tomorrow. And the Milwaukee Bucks lock up the NBA's best record, no matter what happens, for the rest of the regular season this weekend after beating the Chicago Bulls 105-92. They've got 3 games left, and then it's off to the playoffs after that. All right. Time to get Hometown Health rolling here. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here, along with her guest, Dr. Ann Helms, to talk about the election and the environment in Wisconsin afterwards. So, Kristen, I'll turn things over to you to introduce Dr. Helms.
You bet. Well, this obviously has been a huge election for all of us. But the thing that has really heartened me is we've seen doctors from across the state, across all specialties, come forth to say, hey, this is really bad for the House of Medicine if Dan Kelly is elected. And Janet really has that vision and shares our values. So this has been a huge victory for us. And the person who's really led the charge is Dr. Ann Helms, who is our Wisconsin state lead for the Committee to Protect Healthcare. So Ann, it's such a joy to be here with you this morning.
I am delighted to be here, and I'm very, very delighted that we get to take a victory lap instead.
Yes, we do.
Regroup. It's been a hard battle. And people might ask, why is a neurologist here? Why am I doing this? I am the state lead for a group called the Committee to Protect Healthcare. Our whole group, it's a nationwide organization, and we're looking to just get more and better healthcare to people and get good information to the public. One of the reasons that this abortion ban and the increasing laws that are coming out all over the country against healthcare for minors, against healthcare for women, is it's just an attack on science and on what we know is good care. And our ability as healthcare workers, healthcare professionals, I mean, I spent 15, 17 years training to be the stroke specialist that I am. So, you know, let me do that. Let me be the expert. And I think that these attacks on science and on the ability of professionals to be the experts is the scary thing about a lot of these laws that are coming out. And I really appreciate, having met with Janet Protasiewicz myself, that she really wanted to put healthcare decision-making in the hands of the people who ought to be making it, doctors and patients.
That is the most important point, I think. And when we were in the secret room before our little visit, I loved what you said, how you talked about this having been and continues to be a battle between, do you want to talk with an expert or are you going to Google to get your answer? Talk a little bit more about your feelings about that, because I think as physicians, many of us have felt that way. And patients are, of course, approaching it from a different perspective. They're just looking for information.
And I think patients are being misguided that they have to be suspicious of doctors as if we have some sort of ulterior motive. We don't. I mean, I work in an institution where I'm paid salary. It doesn't matter what I do, how many patients I see, what I recommend as treatment. So my drive, my whole point is that I want to take care of people. I mean, honestly, I actually, my little catchphrase is I want to put myself out of business because I give such good, basic care that they don't ever have a stroke in the first place. That'd be great. But there's this increasing distrust of experts, of knowledgeable people. I mean, the attacks on Dr. Fauci, and what was his motivation? What could his motivation possibly have been? What was he getting out of saying, you know, we need to do these things? It's strange. And people come in scared and confused, and they don't know who to believe, and they're told they can't trust experts.
Yeah, it's part of the democratization. The internet has democratized information in this case with a small d, and that's not a compliment when you do it. We have broken down the gatekeepers to experts. Experts are now referred to as elites. And guess what? When I was being raised, elite was something you wanted to be. Elite meant you were the best at something that you can do. Now they've managed to turn that into an insult. And so you and Dr. Lyerly and plenty of others are looking to basically replant the flag of expertise and trust. Despite everything that's being said out there, it has to feel like Sisyphus pushing the rock up the hill sometimes when, like you said, you're competing with Google and Fox News and politicians who find it easier to tear down than to put faith in the people who actually, you know, studied this stuff for a living.
Exactly. I think it goes to the doctors are furious about this knowledge. It's like, no, we're not. We aren't terrified of people knowing what we know. We aren't trying to hide anything from people. We really do actually want to help people, which is a suspicious thing these days because it's becoming less common, or at least it's being touted as being less common. I don't actually think it is. I think most people are really wonderful, lovely individuals, but they're scared and they don't know what to believe. And the ability to go online and see confusing information is really terrible. But I kind of want to charge anybody who knows something about something. Say you're a plumber, say you're a, I don't know, long distance truck driver, whatever. Go online and look at what the internet has to say about what you know very, very well. And you will find there's an enormous amount of misinformation about whatever it is you're really good at. And that's also true about medicine. In fact, it's probably more true about medicine. So it would be telling, I think, and I had somebody tell me to do this, and it was like, wow, you know, you go into the one thing that you really know, and it's like, good Lord, look at that craziness out there. That's true of everything. So you have to trust experts.
Even for us, I think within our specialties, and I'd like the record to show that Dr. Helms is wearing earrings that are brains. They are in the shape of brains.
And of course, so I teased you and OBGYN about having uterus earrings, and you said you do.
I do. Of course you do.
Great. Now I've got to go get earrings looking like a radio microphone and then pierce my ears. But that's besides the point. You were saying, Kristen.
Well, I was saying that Dr. Helms is a stroke specialist. So she's not just a neurologist. I'm a general OBGYN doctor. There are cancer doctors that deal specifically with OBGYN related cancers. There are infertility specialists that deal specifically with that. Dr. Helms is specifically a stroke specialist, not a general neurologist. And I'm betting that general neurologists would also Google stroke, and there would be things there that they would not feel as comfortable with as you are, which is why, again, even we have to trust the experts.
I would be calling Dr. Lyerly if there were a patient who had who was pregnant and had a stroke, or was wanting to be pregnant after a stroke. Which is a question where we do intersect, but we do get into our little niche knowledge bases, and that's because there's so much to know. Mm-hmm. You can't be an expert in everything anymore. The Renaissance person who knows most of what there is to know, that happened in 1500. There's a whole lot more to know now. Mm-hmm.
There's yep. nobody described as a raconteur anymore. Thankfully. Yeah, you know, right. Person who can speak about all things and speak about it eloquently. And I would say as well, not just professions, I used to love going to travel sites to see about this hotel or this resort or this city or whatnot. But, you know, there's so many planted comments on there from competitors now saying, oh, we had a terrible time at this place, that really using the internet as a primary research tool, not the wisest choice in a lot of ways. But Dr. Helms, let's turn toward the environment out there, because we've been hearing folks like Dr. Lyerly tell us for months now that between the abortion ban and the political climate overall, this would not bode well for the future of medicine in Wisconsin, that it would be tough to attract doctors, it would be tough to retain doctors. Now, this is one election. The abortion ban will not come before this court for months, probably. But do you feel better about the message that this election sent to your colleagues in medicine?
I think I do, but it's a small change. I think there's still that assault on what I talk about. My father was a doctor growing up, and everywhere we went, people would assume, because he had MD on his name, that he was a good person. And that's gone. There's this assumption that we're greedy, that we're elitist, that wears on you after a while. I think a lot of people, in fact, the bulk of people that I know who are in the latter half of their career, or even maybe the final third of their career, are counting when they're going to retire. And they're not going to work into their 70s the way that my father did and most of the doctors who did in those days, because they're exhausted and they're tired of people questioning their motives. They're tired of the assault on their knowledge. They're just demoralized. The burnout rate is extraordinary. And add that to the fact that most physicians, instead of being autonomous in private practice, are now employees. So they can't control the narrative and control how they respond to it very well, if at all. I mean, some of the reason that we didn't see as many doctors coming forward is because most doctors are employed, and the institutions they work for may have a different feeling about politics than the individual physician. And that disconnect can lead to fear of talking out loud. So I think there's a demoralization that's very broad in physicians right now. And I know a lot of people who are counting the months to years to say, when do I have enough money socked away to retire?
And I don't think it's just physicians. I think it's healthcare workers in general. We know that 50% of nurses have thought about losing the field or leaving the field. We know that it's almost impossible to hire a medical assistant or an LPN. We don't have the trained staff to assist us in the office for many of the same reasons. And a lot of that goes back to patient frustration. And during COVID, there was so much distrust and so much anger. And really, physicians, nurses were being attacked by patients. And it's just not worth it. So many people have walked away because it's just not worth it. And we're not able to bring people in. I think that's the danger as I'm looking to the future. You know, our state motto is forward. So what happens next? We've created all of these programs here in Wisconsin to train people who are from Wisconsin to stay in Wisconsin and serve in these underserved areas, a lot of rural areas. But these future doctors are questioning whether they can stay here.
Well, Dr. Helms, look, we've established it doesn't feel great. Even one election doesn't change a ton of things. But if anybody's going to encourage healthcare in Wisconsin, it's going to have to be the current leaders. It's going to have to be you and Dr. Lyerly. And that's a challenge. But how do you build on this week's result? Let's put it that way.
How do we build on this? I think we need to pick it up and say, clearly the people of the state of Wisconsin want doctors and patients to be making healthcare decisions, and take it as a broader statement, not just we want abortion rights, which we do, but wait, but I think that let's take this at a broader question and moving forward that way so that we aren't perpetrating more limitations, more anti-science motives. And then I think our refrain is going to be, if you want doctors as a community, we need to care for the physicians and the nurses and the MAs and start seeing them as the real service-minded people that we are, that this is something I do because I love. You know, I say I'm demoralized. I am not saying that I don't adore what I do. When I walk into a patient room and I have that interaction with somebody that needs me, needs my information, and I can help, mm-hmm. I love that. That's what I do this for. And that's what we all do this for.
Exactly.
Let me do that.
Dr. Helms, thank you. Appreciate a visit. Look forward to our next one real soon. Dr. Lyerly, you stick around. Luke Mathers will be joining us coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Will do. Thank you.
Luke Mathers.
All right, I think we've established how long the delay is between Green Bay, Chippewa Falls, and Madison. So much for, you know, singing in sync.
That seemed pretty well rehearsed.
Are we going to sing in sync?
That down.
No, we're not singing in sync. No, we're not going to Stonehenge. Luke Mathers joins us now, co-host of Dueling Tangents on behalf of all things civic media. Yesterday, the day after the election, always feels like a special kind of sleep deprivation, and found myself crawling in bed even far earlier than normal. And it was only 30 seconds ago or so that Luke reminded me that he sent me a message last night. What was that message, Luke?
Yeah, we've got a handful of tickets that we're giving away across Civic Media today for the Brewers-Cardinals game tomorrow night, Friday night. They got the day off. They're getting some rest after sweeping the New York Mets to kick off this week. Cleaned up in Chicago over the weekend, had a little stumble on opening day, but still won that series down at Wrigley. And at Civic Media, you can listen to the Brewers game tomorrow on WISS Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, which is the flagship Brewers station for us here at Civic Media. You can also listen to our friends in Richland Center, WRCE News from the Center for the Brewers. But you also have a chance to win tickets to the game by listening to Civic Media all day long. And Pat waited
and
until the final
you're taking up
minutes.
All time when we could be giving away these tickets. I've wasted 1 hour and 52 minutes. I got 7 minutes left to give away. So it's two tickets for tomorrow night's game.
Two tickets for tomorrow night's game.
And we could either just say, you know, the first person who calls in, but I got to at least make it somewhat challenging. So Dueling Tangents hosts Luke and Brian. We played Eminem this time. Who do we normally play when we play in Luke Mathers for a show that features Luke and Brian? Luke and Brian.
Mr. Kelly and Mr. Mathers.
If you call in at 844-967-2789 and tell me who we normally play for playing music for Luke and Brian, you can get yourself two tickets to tomorrow night's game. So there.
And it's not in sync.
It's no, stop it.
Stop
Don't
giving away hints,
off.
Though.
Yeah. In the meantime, Mr. Zommers, you've been preparing the Cripes cast for the weekend. How are things sounding for that?
Well, I haven't gotten to listen to this one yet. We got it in a little bit later last night than sometimes we normally do.
I was just saying, it was a late entry for a Wednesday evening. That's for sure. Okay.
So we just know it's going to be funny and good.
Yeah.
But Langston Kerman and David Gorby are the two guests. Langston is a comedian. He's very, very, very funny. So I highly recommend tuning in to Civic Media for the Cripes cast at noon, both Saturday and Sunday. And Aaron's looking forward to getting a chance to listen to it.
Absolutely.
Yes, Kristen.
I just wanted to let you know that last week when I went to the train derailment rescue site in southwestern Minnesota, they brought up the Cripes cast.
Nice.
And they were like hardcore Republican people. They love it.
Charlie's got a broad audience. He's talking to everybody in the Midwest. He was at the Bucks game last night in Milwaukee, and he was eating a brat, and he was on the broadcast. It was pretty comical, but he also was there with A.J. Dillon, running back for the Green Bay Packers. A.J. Dillon was in the audience, and the two of them, I believe, shared a brat. I don't know if there was a confirmed sharing of brats, but there was at least an offer.
A.J. Dillon is an elite athlete with the Green Bay Packers, but he also threw out the opening pitch at the Brewers game the other afternoon and clearly should stick to football. I mean, that thing was just a little outside. So I promise AJ Dillon won't be pitching. But again, if you want tickets for tomorrow night's game, 844-967-2789, and can tell us if Luke Bryan is the artist that plays in the Luke and Bryan Dueling Tangent Show. There's two tickets just sitting here waiting for you.
I thought you were going to be teasing it the entire show and kind of just waiting and letting it happen this segment, but you missed the pitch, huh?
Like I said, the note came to me while I was sleeping.
I sent a note to your producer as well, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you not? I bet he was sleeping too.
I don't see sleeping. It. I don't know where you sent it.
Oh, see, here we once again. Every week it's something. Either he didn't get the link, or he didn't send it to the right number, or he's shoveling snow, or whatever the case may be. Luke has the hardest life of all of us.
I have proof. You thumbs up the message. You read it.
I'll take a look. Are you right? Did Aaron?
No. You, Pat. Oh, I know. You can't forget.
Oh yeah, I read it. And then I promptly fell asleep and forgot all about it. And it actually had nothing to do with bourbon this time. I was just exhausted.
It could just be your long ploy to be going to the Brewers game on Friday night, isn't it? Though, if we don't have a listener to give them away to.
Oh.
I conveniently forgot.
What am I saying? It's Easter weekend. I got family coming into town here. I've got a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old who are going to be here in a few hours. I can't.
There you go.
Yeah, he's got to
get the eggs out for the egg hunt.
We're very excited.
We're going to be giving away Brewers tickets all summer long. It's going to be a very exciting season. The Brewers are off to a great start. We're thrilled to be broadcasting them in Oshkosh and Richland Center. And so if you don't get a chance to make it to the game, you can definitely listen on the air in Oshkosh. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM, and Richland Center, news from the center, WRCE. And it is definitely going to be a fun season. So, folks, you're going to want to tune in. Stay tuned to Civic Media for your chance to win. If you can't go this weekend because of the Easter holiday, we're going to be giving away tickets all year long, and you want to stay tuned.
Honestly, you can't mention Easter weekend and the Brewers without thinking back to, was it 1987 and the winning streak that they started off with? What was it, 13 games on Easter Sunday, a come from behind victory, listening to Euchre go crazy. It was a blast. So Easter weekend would be a wonderful time to go to a Brewers game. So listen throughout the day here, including the Dueling Tangents radio show. You do such a good job promoting everybody else. Luke, let's talk about you for a minute.
Yeah,
what you been doing on Dueling Tangents?
Brian and I have a streak going. The last 2 days, we did election coverage, and the day after together on the airwaves from 2 to 3. So we're continuing to talk about the headlines. We're joined by excellent guests. Yesterday, William Walter joined us on a Wednesday. Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area was on with us earlier this week as well. He joins us every Tuesday at 2:30 to general recombobulation and Wisconsin headlines. But it's definitely, I don't know if you saw it yet since you've been on the airwaves, but a ProPublica story dropped today about some of the financing of trips that Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has had from some right-wing mega donors to the Republican Party. So we're going to be diving in and talking a little bit about that. I'm curious to get reactions from any critics of Janet Protasiewicz saying her values and talking about it before a Supreme Court election here in Wisconsin. I'm believing they're going to be pretty silent and have crickets on criticism of,
honest to God,
Justice,
I mean,
Clarence Thomas.
What is he still doing on there? You know, with a wife who's engaged in insurrection, and he's still making rulings in the case. So, yeah, to borrow one of the Trump campaign's phrases, I think Clarence Thomas is about to spend a little time in the box, and deservedly so. Mr. Mathers, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Dr. Lyerly, if you can go back to your other national media calls now, but we appreciate that you remembered the little people for a little bit.
Oh, always fun slumming with you, Pat.
We appreciate it so much. Again, Carolyn Fiddler tomorrow, state by state. What the hell is going on with the Republican Party, and our friend Mark Jacob as well. So tune in for that and
maybe
more.
A second chance to win these tickets. Who
maybe
knows?
So. All right. Have a great day. We'll see you Friday.